Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, where three Timberwolves players, well, three and a half Timberwolves players rank on Bill Simmons' trade value list, and why I actually kind of agree with Bill Simmons for once on ranking Timberwolves players. We'll dive into that, plus catch and shoot numbers for the Timberwolves, why the Wolves acquired a couple of the players that they did this offseason, and which Wolves players got better in catch and shoot three-point situations, which got worse, and why it's really important to what the Wolves are going to try and do this year offensively. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome into the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. And a big thank you for making Locked on Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves and at BBeacon. That's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. We're going to get right into it today. A lot to talk about. I mentioned the Bill Simmons trade value column, or I guess podcast, the other day on the show. And I think it's actually a pretty interesting exercise to look at his rankings. I'll explain a little bit what they are if you're not familiar and where the Wolves rank. And then I want to talk catch and shoot numbers for basically the Wolves' current roster and which players are going to be most relied upon to make catch and shoot threes on this year's team, and also why the roster has been structured the way that it has been by the Wolves front office over the past year or so. All right, let's start with the Simmons trade value. If you're not a Bill Simmons fan, or if you have an opinion on Bill Simmons one way or the other, I think this is still a valuable exercise. So the last 2 days, we went through Seth Partnow's overall player tiers at The Athletic. Seth is a former front office executive with the Milwaukee Bucks. He got his start as a writer writing about the analytical side of the game. That's his approach. And also that ranking was just players right now. And explicitly he said, contracts don't matter. This is different. Bill Simmons is Bill Simmons, right? He's a media guy. He's a columnist, a podcaster, not as much a columnist anymore. And he's got his thing and the way he approaches things. However, he generally is pretty good when it comes to basketball in general. And this ranking system is based on his perceived trade value of, in this case, the top 64 plus some honorable mentions throughout the league. And contracts do matter. So he's very clear about this. So salaries matter. The example he gives in the lead into the article is, would you rather pay Bradley Beal $50 million a year or Jaylen Brown half that? Would you rather pay Trae Young a max or Evan Mobley a rookie deal, et cetera, et cetera. Age matters as well. Obviously, contract length matters, not as much as salary and age do. And then also he talks about something that's relatively new, which is happiness matters. Like, for instance, the example I'll use is Kevin Durant. How many teams are legitimately trying to trade for Kevin Durant? Everybody's probably called, but a team like Phoenix or, I don't know, Golden State or one of those teams is far more likely to be willing to give up more because Durant is more likely to be happy there than he would be in, I don't know, insert smaller market, you know, Orlando or Minnesota, for that matter. Obviously, the Wolves aren't going to be involved in those conversations after getting Rudy Gobert. But I think it's important to point all those things out. He also mentions, and in the process of explaining this, Simmons throws some shade at the Timberwolves. He says, bizarre real-life trades should affect the list. In Simmons' opinion, and of course, I disagree with this take. I've talked about this. I think I even mentioned the Simmons-Russillo conversation about this a couple weeks ago about the Gobert trade. Simmons says, quote, the Timberwolves just paid 225 cents on the dollar for Rudy Gobert, then hilariously bragged about how they held on to Jaden McDaniels afterward if the Celtics made a trade like that, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to talk about Simmons' Celtics takes. And then he said he had Gobert in the 40s, but he's got to be in the top 30 now because of what he just fetched on the trade market. He's not wrong. I obviously disagree with the take, but it's a good thing that real-life trades impacted his trade value list. So that's essentially the lead-in. There are four Timberwolves players mentioned. This was a podcast, I should say, on the Ringer Podcast Network, the Bill Simmons pod, about 10 days ago. And then he actually did write this up, mostly just a list with the intro written out, so not a true like full article like Simmons used to do back in his Grantland days, if you're familiar. But the list is available online, although the podcast is fun. It's a good listen. So he's got honorable mention listed. There's probably 15 guys listed here as honorable mention. One of them is Jaden McDaniels, and he said on the podcast he's basically included because the Timberwolves were completely talking up how the Jazz and Danny Ainge really wanted Jaden McDaniels back as part of this trade, and the Timberwolves were doing victory laps for keeping him. As they should have. I think clearly the Wolves said we'll give you an extra pick or maybe lower protections on a pick and another pick or something if we get to keep McDaniels. I'm sure that that's basically how it went down. Other notable honorable mentions among the 15, it's a weird mix of kind of young players with bad contracts, like De'Aaron Fox would be a good example of that. Nikola Vucevic is another player who's a good player, but he's a little bit overpaid. And then there's some kind of inexplicably some really like Ben Mathurin's on this list. He's a rookie. I don't really get that. And then some really good role players like an Alex Caruso. He's got Robert Williams III, obviously played a huge role in what the Celtics did this year. Seth Curry, Anfernee Simons, who's I think more in the young player bad contract category. Lou Dort with the Thunder. Dylan Brooks with the Grizzlies. So McDaniels is in the honorable mention group. The list is top 64, so that puts him in roughly the top 80 or so in terms of trade value, according to Bill Simmons. So that's where McDaniels is. Notably, D'Angelo Russell's not on this list. It shouldn't be a surprise. I think he could have been close to honorable mention for this reason. Last year, he wouldn't have been. But he had his best year, arguably ever, certainly since his All-Star year in Brooklyn. I'm talking about D'Lo now. And he's got an expiring contract. Yes, he's expensive. He isn't technically worth the max deal. I talk about this on the show all the time. If you just said, what's the best salary for D'Angelo Russell? It's not a max deal. He's not worth a max deal. But it's what he's getting paid, and it's expiring. He's extension eligible, and he's coming off a good year. He's going to have a good year this year as a contract year. So I was a little surprised he didn't at least crack the honorable mention, because I actually think he's got some trade value now. It's obviously not significant, or I think the Wolves would have potentially moved on from him. But, I mean, he's still a 20-plus point per game guy, a guy that can get a bucket at any time, and he's a better player than most of these guys on the honorable mention list. So surprised me just a little bit. I should also say he left out Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, and James Harden because of, well, I mean, you can insert reasons for all three of those guys yourself. So then he has his top 64. 58 through 64 are quality starters. I'm not going to go through every name. Group K is the upside gang, so a bunch of guys who probably could be higher depending on what they do this year. Jaren Jackson Jr. is in this category, by the way. So like, for instance, on Partnow's list, Jaren Jackson Jr. was in the same category as Karl Anthony Towns in terms of on-court impact. But in terms of trade value, Simmons has him at Jaren Jackson at 54. We'll get to Towns in a minute, but he's roughly 25, 30 spots higher. So, you know, you factor in contract. I think that's really interesting because obviously Jaren Jackson's already gotten the extension. He's getting paid less than Towns. I think it's mostly the injury concerns. It certainly is the injury concerns with Jaren Jackson, why he's ranked so low. I also think it's interesting because that's a front office perspective of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s on-court impact, whereas Simmons has so many concerns about, you know, can he stand, you know, foul trouble, like some of the kind of like softer, not soft skills, kind of like ancillary stuff that Jaren Jackson Jr. struggles with, which is fair. But because of the injury stuff, Simmons has him all the way down in the 50s. So that's one of the key differences between these lists. And there's several. Andrew Wiggins is in the next group. He's at 45, which is what he calls the Ginobili's playoff guys. It's super weird that, like, I mean, 6 months ago, if you had said Andrew Wiggins would be in a tier called playoff guys for anything, you'd laugh. I would laugh. We'd all laugh. But I mean, I get it now, I guess. I mean, he was arguably the second, certainly at least the third best player for the Warriors during their playoff run. The next group is the regular season guys, the Westbrooks, Bradley Beal, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Jaden Ivey, which, again, I don't understand ranking rookies. I know that they have trade value. It's impossible to handicap how much a guy who was just drafted is worth. So I disagree with including rookies on this list. DeJounte Murray's at 40. And then they get into this weird group of, sorry, he's worth more to us than you. And it's a bunch of basically older superstars, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, LeBron James. Donovan Mitchell's on this list. I think he probably has already, I mean, I don't know that he's worth more than number 34. It's just, he's an interesting inclusion because obviously he's available right now. Jamal Murray, who hasn't played in a year, Chris Middleton's on this list as well. And then we get into the 20s, which is where you'll find a couple of Timberwolves players. So let's talk about where the Timberwolves players ranked and which Wolves player ranked highest, exactly where and why. We're going to do that here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. From the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar. If you haven't, you have to. It's by far the best flavor, even though they're all fantastic. But guess what? Your friends at Built have given coconut brownie chunk the puffs treatment. That's right. The coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavor that you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They're actually good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. Coconut brownie chunk puffs are only here for a limited time. Go to Built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they do taste amazing. And again, all Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They're the perfect treat. Perfect when you've got a craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack, they're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich, sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Go to Built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. It's what I use every time I order Built Bars. I'm due for another shipment. I got to do another order probably today. Again, promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order at Built.com. Which NFL stars move the betting line the most starting this week? Locked On gives you the 50 most valuable players in the NFL. It's training camp time. I believe the Las Vegas Raiders kicked off training camp already this week with a bunch of other teams to follow. The top 50 most valuable players in the NFL from the odds makers at Bet Online, available this week on Locked On NFL, wherever you get your podcasts, plus on YouTube. All right, continuing the Bill Simmons trade value rankings, we're into the 30s. There's a group called Too Young, Too Cheap, Too Good. I mean, LaMelo Ball, interestingly, we'll get back to him in a minute, is at 33. Jabari Smith Jr., Jalen Green, Chet Holmgren's on this list, Paolo Banchero. So there's three rookies, Darius Garland, three rookies in the 28 to 33 range. I don't know. It's impossible to say if they're really, like, if you called up, so like all a couple names ahead of this or behind these guys, if you, like, by definition, this list, this is what doesn't make sense, is if you called up the Lakers and said, we'll give you Chet Holmgren for LeBron James. Obviously, contracts don't match, but you could figure it out, I guess. I mean, like no, the Lakers wouldn't do that. They just wouldn't do that. It would be insane. Like, yes, I understand that in 5 years from now, LeBron's out of the league, and Chet's probably an all-star, certainly a starter in this league. But you wouldn't do that, and that's the whole point of this list. So I don't like the rookie rankings because I think it's just impossible to do it right. But at any rate. So Group F is 22 to 27, and the title that he gave this group is If You Tell Woj, I'll Deny It to the Death, But I'm Listening. 27, Zach LaVine. 26, Pascal Siakam. 25, Rudy Gobert. 24, Karl-Anthony Towns. 23, Kawhi Leonard. 22, Zion Williamson. I mostly agree with this ranking until we get to Group E, and I'm going to skip ahead just a little before I come back to Towns and Gobert. Group E is, he has titled Let Me Save You the Time, N-O. Brandon Ingram, Drew Holiday at 20, Jaylen Brown, Bam Adebayo. Now, if you called up the Wolves and offered any of those guys for Karl-Anthony Towns, like, obviously team situation matters, and that's the, other than the rookie stuff, probably the biggest weakness with this, is some teams would maybe say, if you had Karl-Anthony Towns, say, yeah, we'll do Brandon Ingram for Karl-Anthony Towns. We think Ingram's better moving forward or whatever. The Wolves would not do that because they have Anthony Edwards and I mean, why would they, right? Like, it doesn't make sense given the Wolves, how the Wolves are currently structured, to do a Towns for Ingram trade or like a Towns for Drew Holiday trade. The Wolves would not trade Karl-Anthony Towns for Drew Holiday. I just don't think they would. So team situation is going to matter a little. For the most part, I agree with having Towns and Rudy Gobert in the mid-20s for trade value. I think Towns should be a little bit higher because as much as fans, and I put Simmons in this category because he is first and foremost a fan. That's his thing, right? There's this kind of oversold frustration with some of the Towns stuff that he does that is frustrating. And obviously, what's front of mind for people, especially in the national media and fans, you know, casual fans, non-Timberwolves fans, is Towns' poor performance in the play-in game and his poor moments in the first round series against Memphis, because those things, I mean, he had a couple of real stinkers, right? The Clippers game was awful. There was at least one, maybe two games in the Memphis series that were also not very good at all. And I mean, that's what's front of mind. And that's what happens when you're on the stage of the playoffs, is that's what people remember. I think if that series, even if they lose the series, but Towns maybe doesn't have the stinker against the Clippers, I bet he's in the next group. I bet he's in the 18 to 21 range on this list. And that's how fickle stuff like this is on a national scale. And obviously that's, again, a weakness of this exercise. But Towns being in the same group as Gobert and then also Kawhi Leonard, Zion Williamson, nothing to sneeze at, and probably close to about right. Now, what I said about the Wolves and how they value Towns also applies to the next group, Group D, true franchise guys. The Wolves would not trade Karl Anthony Towns for Trae Young. They would not trade him for Cade Cunningham. They would not trade him for, you know, really any guys on this list. Like, why would you trade him for Anthony Davis at this point in Anthony Davis's career? Yes, in a vacuum, if healthy, you'd argue that Anthony Davis at this moment is still a better player. But Towns has, knock on wood, had better health. He, you know, there's a series of reasons why you'd prefer to have Towns. You also, and this is something else Simmons claims matters on this list, is you have to consider value to current team and the market. Towns has been loyal to Minnesota with what he said, and obviously re-upping recently again on his contract, getting the Supermax. Like, I mean, what would the upside in trading Towns for Anthony Davis be? Like, that wouldn't happen. So that's, again, a weakness of this list. But still, interesting to consider. The true franchise guys from 11 to 17, he's got Trae Young at 17, Scotty Barnes at 16, which is too high. Everybody loves Scotty Barnes. He's really good. 16 is too high for a guy who's 1 year into the league. Cade Cunningham at 15 is way too high. I'd have him behind Scotty Barnes. I'd have Cade probably in the 20s. Paul George at 14, Jimmy Butler at 13, Anthony Davis 12, Devin Booker 11. He put Kevin Durant at 10 because it's weird. It's a weird situation. I think in a vacuum, he's probably higher, but given the situation, it pushes him down lower because of the Gobert trade, frankly. And then Anthony Edwards, the only other Timberwolves player on the list, he's in Group B, ranked in the 5 through 9 rankings called the Untouchables. Anthony Edwards in the Untouchables category, number 8. Number 9 is Evan Mobley. Number 8 is Anthony Edwards. 7, Jason Tatum. Joel Embiid's at 6, and John Morant's at 5. Simmons and Russillo talk about on the pod, they have a conversation of, do you push Embiid down to 9? And which would put him, of course, behind Edwards and slide everybody up a slot. They ultimately decided not to because of Embiid's value to Philly and obviously being an MVP candidate matters. I actually think this is a really good ranking for Edwards. Would the Timberwolves trade Anthony Edwards for Jason Tatum? Yeah, probably. I mean, like, but at the same time, they're both in the untouchable category. So that's a weird, like, obviously Jason Tatum is better now, but you factor in Anthony Edwards' personality and the heartbeat for this team that he is and how much the city loves him and everything else that comes with Ant, the Ant experience. No, why would you mess with that? It's not like that has to factor in here too. So he's in the same group. Tatum's at 7, Embiid at 6, Morant at 5. Jaws maybe, like, Jaws similar to Ant in the sense that, and I know he's been an all-star and he's a couple years ahead of Ant in terms of career path and career development. The city of Memphis loves Ja. He loves the city. He is that team. I think in a year, 2 years, maybe a year, I think Ant's a better player than Ja Morant. I just think he will be. There's just so much more upside to what Ant can do, given his size, the defensive ability, the shooting stroke is better from the perimeter. And he plays similar to him in terms of getting to the rim. Ja's better at that, but Ant has that similar mentality with more size. So if he figures it out, if something else clicks there, then he's going to be clearly better than Ja in just a couple of years. So Ant's in the Untouchables group, 5 to 9 at number 8, I think makes a ton of sense. At this point, you could guess who the top 4 are. Giannis is 1, Luka's 2, Nikola Jokic is 3, and Steph Curry is 4. So Ant at 8, I mean, ahead of Evan Mobley, ahead of Kevin Durant to the trade value. This is 100% true. The Wolves would never trade Anthony Edwards for Kevin Durant. They just wouldn't. They wouldn't trade him for Devin Booker. They wouldn't trade him for Jimmy Butler at this stage in both of their careers. They wouldn't trade him for Paul George. Like, this is accurate. Would they trade him for Jason Tatum? Probably not. But Tatum's significantly better at this stage in their respective careers. So it makes sense to have him higher. They also wouldn't trade him for John Morant, I should say. So for the Wolves, like, the only guys that they would consider trading Ant for would be guys that aren't going to get traded. Steph Curry, Luka, and Giannis. Those are probably the three guys that they would say, sure, you can have Ant if I can have Giannis, if I can have Luka, if I can have Steph Curry. I'm not saying I would But I think like if you run an NBA front office, if for some reason that came up, you'd have to have that conversation, right? So go check out this list. The podcast was posted about a week and a half ago, and I believe the article did as well. But again, the pod is a much better experience for that list with Simmons and Ryan Russillo commentating on it. So go check it out. I think the Ant ranking is good. I think the Rudy ranking is good. I think Towns is slightly low. But otherwise, a fun exercise to be sure. All right, let's wrap the show up today by talking catch and shoot. I want to talk catch and shoot numbers for the Wolves roster, some of their new acquisitions, and specifically, I think Anthony Edwards' numbers are really interesting. So we're going to get into that here next. The Minnesota Timberwolves as a team finally started to improve from outside the arc last year. As the season went on, they actually started really poor in terms of percentage. They were always one of the higher volume three-point shooting teams. But you had guys, I harped on this all last season, the weird career lows that guys were shooting. Now, Patrick Beverley bounced back a little, still not a great year for him. Torian Prince bounced back a lot. He was shooting like 20% from three in December last year, like 6 weeks into the season, 2 months into the season. But had a great January, February, March. Pulled that percentage up. We still saw D'Lo struggle percentage-wise a little more than we're used to seeing. So D'Lo and Beverly actually still brought that down a little. But we also had some guys improve from outside the arc. And specifically in catch-and-shoot situations. So Anthony Edwards, as a rookie, shot just 32.9% from three, obviously below league average. And then last year, second year, he shot 35.7% from three on more volume, more attempts per game, a higher three-point rate, and he improved his percentage by nearly three full points. However, he improved his catch-and-shoot numbers by even more. As a rookie, Anthony Edwards in catch-and-shoot three-point situations shot only 33.5% on catch-and-shoot three. So right in line with his season number, which usually your catch-and-shoot number is going to be higher than your actual number, than your total overall three-point shooting number, because everybody basically shoots worse off the dribble than they do in catch-and-shoot situations. But Ants was 33.5% as a rookie in catch-and-shoot. Last season, he was the best catch-and-shoot three-point shooter on the Timberwolves roster ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns by a point and a half. 41.3% last season in catch-and-shoot three situations for Anthony Edwards. We aren't talking about that enough. He shot 35.7% total for the season, which of course means off the dribble, he's shooting too many of those step-backs. He's shooting too many of those 28-footers that teams goad him into because, of course, you'd rather have Anthony Edwards shooting a step-back three at a 32% clip than you would have him coming downhill at your face and dunking over everybody on your team. So teams were goading him into these step-backs. But when he shoots catch-and-shoot, even from deep, like really deep, he's over 41%. He's an elite catch-and-shoot three-point shooter at this point. 41.3% is fantastic. So what does that mean? Well, obviously shot selection. I also should point out, I mean, I'm going to talk more about this on a future show. I want to dive in a little bit to like clear improvements and regressions for Wolves players this year. I should say from in between the last 2 years. With Ant, he improved his shooting percentage from every place on the floor, at the rim, 3 to 10 feet, a big improvement from the mid-range, and also three-point range. He improved his percentage in every single zone of the floor, and catch-and-shoot threes is the reason why his three-point shooting percentage jumped up nearly 3 points to 35.7%, which is about league average, and you know, I think it obviously needs to go up a bit more. I think if he's in the 37-38% and isn't simply a volume guy, then it's a true pick your poison situation. He becomes, you know, functionally more like a more athletic version of James Harden. Obviously, James is a better passer, draws fouls better, all that stuff. But like James Harden is a volume 3-point shooter who's only had a couple of like truly elite 3-point shooting seasons in terms of percentage. But guys give him space because they'd rather deal with the step back than have him drawing fouls all day in the paint, even though he's not ultra athletic and he's not dunking over anyone. But all that to say, Ant's catch and shoot numbers, just ridiculous. For best on the team. I should say Karl-Anthony Towns was over 40% last year, 2 years ago, the 2021 season. Last year's 39.7%, so still very, very good in catch and shoot situations. Torian Prince, Jalen Noel, both over 38% catch and shoot. Naz Reid, believe it or not, was just a hair under 36%. He, of course, was much better from the corners than he was above the break, and that's a constant for Naz. D'Angelo Russell was only 34.4% on three-point catch and shoot opportunities, which is low for him. He does shoot a lot off the dribble. He's one of the rare cases of a guy who's just as good or better off the dribble. I will say the year prior, so a couple seasons ago, D'Lo was 39.1% in catch and shoot. So he was down almost 5 points last year, 5 percentage points in terms of catch and shoot numbers. So that's another weird regression that we can expect to bounce back a bit for D'Lo in the upcoming season. So that's kind of an outlier there. You go down the roster, you know, Jordan McLaughlin, not great catch and shoot, under 33% from three. Again, I'm only talking 3 point catch and shoot. Jaden McDaniels is an interesting one. He went the opposite direction as Anthony Edwards. He shot just 31.5% on catch and shoot threes last year, and he shot the fifth most catch and shoot threes on the roster. You think about what his role was. Jaden was often standing in the slot or in the corner for driving kicks or skip passes, you know, not in the first three options in the offense. He averaged about 3.5 catch and shoot threes per game behind only Towns and D'Angelo Russell. So actually he was third at catch and shoot. And Malik Beasley. So he was fourth at catch and shoot opportunities per game, slightly more than Anthony Edwards had per game. Now, as a rookie, Jaden McDaniels actually did shoot catch and shoot threes a little better. He was 36.8%, but the volume was lower as a rookie than it was in his second year. Still, that's an area Jaden has to improve on. If he's going to be dangerous within the Wolves offense, he has to knock down catch and shoot threes. He's now starting to show the ability to pump fake and get into the paint and make some noise that way. That's also super important, but teams aren't going to respect the pump fake if they look at these numbers and say, he's 32% on catch and shoot threes. If he catches and fakes, we're going to stay down. We're going to make him, or we're going to stay back. We're not going to close out hard on him. We're going to force him to shoot a semi-contested three-pointer. Then, you know, we'd rather do that than have his athleticism and length coming at us downhill. The last point here is the new Timberwolves. New players the Wolves added, both former Denver Nuggets, Austin Rivers and Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes is in Anthony Edwards territory, actually slightly better than him in terms of catch and shoot threes. Bryn Forbes is 41.6% on catch and shoot threes last year with the Denver Nuggets. Now, the role wasn't massive. He split his, well, I guess I say that. He actually 3.2 per game. That's slightly more than Anthony Edwards shot per game in terms of catch and shoot threes. And he was 41.6% on catch and shoot threes last season. Bryn Forbes right now would basically be tied with Anthony Edwards for the best catch and shoot 3-point shooters on the team, just a little bit ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns. That's an impressive trio. So you have D'Lo, you have, if Ant's got the ball in his hands, I guess, then it's Forbes and you have Towns. But you have these guys dotting the perimeter that can hit catch and shoot threes at 40-ish percent. That's three of them now. Towns, Forbes, Anthony Edwards around 40%. And then add in Austin Rivers. Austin Rivers was 37% on catch and shoot threes. As a overall last season, Rivers was only 34% from three. He hasn't been over 37% from three since the 2017-18 season with the Clippers. His three-point shooting has gone slightly down the last few years. So 34% overall, but 37% on catch and shoot opportunities at 2.5 a game last year at Denver. So you think about Jordan McLaughlin, D'Angelo Russell probing in the open floor, finding these guys spotting up. The Wolves at the very least, replaced Malik Beasley's catch and shoot production with Bryn Forbes. Obviously, Jalen Noel, also I mentioned him earlier, his catch and shoot number was very respectable as well. It was like 38.1%, which is better than Rivers, obviously. So, you know, you replace Malik Beasley's catch and shoot prowess, which he was very good at that. He was also 38.1% last year with a combination of Jalen Noel, Austin Rivers, and Bryn Forbes. Those guys are going to all be above league average in catch and shoot situations. So the only guys you're really worried about are, can Jaden McDaniels improve that number? And Jordan McLaughlin's not great, but often he's got the ball in his hands with the second unit anyway. You're talking a limited 10 to 14 minutes a game. And, you know, he's the one distributing to the bench unit guys, Torian Prince, who, by the way, is 38.5% catch and shoot. So these are all above league average catch and shoot guys. Prince, Noel, the new guys, Forbes, Rivers, obviously Towns, Anthony Edwards, fantastic. Really impressive group of three-point shooters, and you can bet that D'Lo's three-point numbers are going to bounce back this year. Remember, contract year, and last year is an outlier in terms of percentage looking back the last several years of his career. So all that to say, the Wolves have a host of really strong three-point shooting catch-and-shoot options this season, and Forbes and Rivers only add to that group of guys. Excited to see what that looks like here on this roster this season. All right, that's all we have for today. We'll be back again tomorrow on Friday. We are still daily through the rest of July. So Monday through Friday, make sure you're following and subscribe to the show. A big thank you. If you do make Locked On Wolves your first listen every day, of course, you can watch on YouTube. You can also listen on any of your favorite audio platforms. You can follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves or my account at @bbeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Thanks again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. A reminder, you can make your second listen, the Locked On NBA show. Get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the league in just 30 minutes every single day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.